Due to the graphic nature of this program, listener discretion is advised.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it's your friendly neighborhood Pinhead 198 back finally. It's been a while with another episode, but you know, been busy at the pickle plant diddling pickles. So, and there hasn't been really anything of note to come out, but finally we got some new shit to talk about. This episode, we're going to discuss, I'm going to review John Wick Chapter 4 and how I'll try very hard not to spoil anything, although the movie has been out for a while. It is even now available for purchase, physical copies now, so at this point, like, dancing through spoilers is a little ridiculous, but I'll try my best. We'll talk about John Wick Chapter 4. We're going to talk about Street Fighter 6 because I did buy that, and I'm not usually a Street Fighter fan. I'm more of a Mortal Kombat guy, as most know. However, we'll discuss Street Fighter 6, how I feel about it. Also, we're going to talk about Robert Englund finally retired. He is no longer going to play Freddy Krueger anymore. So when the next movie comes out, it will be a new actor. And I know, gasp at that, but I'll give my thoughts. I'm going to start off with that one, but I'll give my thoughts because it should be a no-brainer. And then we'll lightly discuss some of the new showcases that happened over the past week of Microsoft, PlayStation, and everybody else who fiddled their dicks to get themselves off about how great their new games are coming out. If Starfield ever fucking comes out, like, at this point, it's like trying to find Sasquatch or a fucking UFO. You'd be lucky to hit the lottery and win that shit before Starfield comes out. It's getting a little old. But we'll discuss it. Let's start off with the Freddy Krueger shit. I'm just going to say this should be no surprise. The man is 76 years old. He cannot do this anymore. He's got to be in a lot of pain at his age and doing all the stunts. And because we're not just talking about Nightmare on Elm Street. He did V and other projects where it required him to use his body somewhat. So we can't be like, oh my god, I'm shocked. Clutch my pearls. Like, it's not, there's no way you can be surprised by this shit. If you are, you need to have your fucking head examined. It's just called life. So let's get into the article. And this is, I don't know, Film Threat. But they're getting this by way, this came through his interview of Variety. Variety interviewed him, but this is off of Film Threat. So this is legitimate, because this is from Variety. Anyway, after nearly 40 years, Robert Englund is ready to put Freddy Krueger to bed. Too old and thick to play Freddy now. I like him. I like his humor. Englund told Variety, I just can't do fight scenes for more than one take anymore. I've got a bad neck, a bad back, and arthritis in my right wrist, which is worse because that's the glove hand. So I have to hang it up. But I would love to do a cameo. I don't know about all that. Well, to me, that shit's cringe, but I get tired of the, like, guy who played Jason cameoing in Nightmare on Elm Street. It's like, or Friday the 13th. It's like, okay. But that's just my personal opinion. Anyway, Englund made his debut as Freddy Krueger, the malevolent spirit of a child killer, in 1984's A Nightmare on Elm Street, directed by none other than Wes Craven. The movie's success launched a franchise, with Englund reprising the role of seven more films and starring in a spinoff of, and that's another problem right there, spinoff series, Freddy Nightmare. We don't need another film. You guys don't need to keep, look, you don't need to make 82 fucking films. We get it. We get it. You make a lot of fucking money.
the bag drops and your dicks get hard and you go, well, we got to make 3, 4, 5 more of these things. And then it ends up being 100. Like, how many Halloween movies do we need? How many Friday the 13th movies do we need? And I love these films, don't get me wrong. But God, sometimes let's just put it to rest for a decade or two. And then bring it back. But when the bag comes calling, you can't do that, can you? Okay, let's finish the article. They're just going on about descriptors. Now let's hear what Robert has to say. Fuck, you guys talk more than I do. That's a lot. I know who icons are, England 75 continued. I'm not an icon. You are, so I beg to differ. You're wrong. But anyway, Mr. Krueger. Maybe Freddy Krueger is, but I'm not. You are. You are the reason why Freddy Krueger even had any life, so no. You are the... I'm just a character actor. That may be, Robert, but I have to completely disagree with him there, because if it wasn't for his panache and the way he brought the character to life, there would be no Freddy Krueger. So there would be no iconic villain without Robert Englund, and vice versa. Robert Englund wouldn't have a fucking career if it wasn't for Freddy Krueger. So they both made each other icons. It's just wrong. Sorry, but the actor has been in dozens of non-Freddy horror movies, and this is proving my point, including Urban Legend, 2001 Maniacs, Hatchet, Behind the Mask, The Rise of Leslie Vernon, and most recently played himself in Netflix's video game horror, Choose or Die. England also appeared as Victor Krill in Stranger Things Season 4, which was a complete waste. That was one of the things I did hate about Season 4 of Stranger Things. They built up two aspects that they said they were inspired by. Nightmare on Elm Street, and that's why they were going to have a Robert Englund cameo, and the Hellraiser aspects. They barely tapped the Hellraiser aspects and the fucking Robert Englund cameo. You could have wiped your ass faster than he was on screen. This shit's ridiculous. So that really aggravated me, but we'll move on. That was the list. Freddy was eventually recast in 2000, and this is where we get into the part where people gasped, and rightfully so, because we already been down this road one time before. That's why if people had their way, poor old Robert would be playing this shit until he was in his fucking 90s, dead and decrepit Freddy, because we did this before, as they say right here. Freddy was eventually recast in 2010's Nightmare on Elm Street remake with Jackie Earle Haley, which was... We don't need to get into another rant already. We still got a long show to go. Anyway, putting on the claws, but plans for subsequent sequels were scrapped due to overwhelmingly negative response from fans and critics alike in the golden age of remakes. And it was a box office fucking bomb. That, too. In the age, like you said, agreed, where the remakes were all the rage and they were blowing out the box office doors. However, it's likely that a new Freddy movie could pop up anytime. They are working on one. They're just rights issues and all the other bullshit. Hopefully one big enough to bring England out of retirement. Hollywood Dreams and Nightmares, the Robert England story, will be available to stream exclusively on Screenbox. That I would highly recommend checking out. Screenbox is dirt cheap. It's like $4.99 a month. So if you can suck a few dick on the street corners for pennies or some shit, you can get it. And it's very well worth seeing the film. So sorry, I'm just looking it over. But that's that. Robert's done. And we need to let him retire. He's done his time. It's enough's enough. I'm more worried, to be quite honest, with what we're going to get with the next movie, because that 2000, I'm not even going to get into it, because I will go on a rant, but the one with Jackie Earle Haley, it is fucking grot. It is some of the worst shit I've ever seen in my entire life. I'd rather bash my skull through the wall multiple times and send myself to the intensive care unit at the local hospital than have to see that dog shit ever again. It was a dog's dinner piece of shit, and it should have never been greenlit. It was just because Jackie was hot at the time, and so we're making old remakes of fucking horror films that have been, that did it better years ago. The Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake started that ball rolling down the hill. And then they had to remake everything. Nightmare. And Friday the 13th. And Halloween. Yes, Halloween already did that once before. And they just, they went to the bottom of the barrel too. They got Last House on the Left, an obscure, ultra-violent Wes Craven film when he was starting off, coming up in the business. It doesn't get much more, how much remake can we scrape? And this one came out, and I'll tell you, anybody that has seen the film knows it is white trash garbage. I can't stand the shit. So, and when I say white trash, I mean like the kind of degeneracy that you see on Jerry Springer. Rest in peace, Jerry. It's white trash nonsense that's not worth your fucking time. So, if you haven't seen it, please do yourself a favor. Don't. And that's that. Robert's done. Hey, Robert, you're still alive. Just enjoy time with your family. You did your time. We know you're a badass. We loved you. And yes, that's one part of the article you got wrong. Freddy is an icon, yes, but you are too because of it. So, thank you for your service, Robert Englund. Hopefully you don't get to make that cameo so we don't have to have another Nightmare on Elm Street, at least not for another 15 years. Let it simmer a little. Let the pot cook the food before you jump in and start eating it raw. Like a fucking ravenous cannibal. Shit. Alright, let's move on. John Wick Chapter 4. Boy. Woo! Excuse me, I'll be coughing and breathing heavy, sneezing, because we're battling another fucking cold. No, it's not COVID. I already got multiple negative tests, so I know it's not COVID. I get paranoid. Too many fuck bucks out here running amok. Not giving a shit about anybody, not even themselves, so I get paranoid, but it's not COVID. But anyway, John Wick Chapter 4. John Wick Chapter 4. Boy. What a fucking ride this was. I think this is not the best in the series, but I think it's the best overall story told, because John Wicks are, they're not, we don't go for the story, obviously, because they are all over the place. I think this is the best story told since the first one. I'm talking about narratively. Narratively, this is the best story told since the first one. Structured pretty good. And the action is almost nonstop. There are a couple of lull periods where you're like, okay, let's move it. Let's move along. But other than that, it's almost nonstop action. The characters you really do enjoy, even some of the villains. Some of the villains, like, I think it's Scott Adkins. I can't remember. I gotta pull it up. Let me pull it up. But anyway, some of the characters in there are just like, and, you know, we gotta get into this as much as I hate to. Give me a second. I'm going to stop talking for a minute. I know. He actually shuts up for a second. I got to look this up, though, because I got to give people the proper respect. John Wick Chapter 4. Tell me it's not. Alright, here we go. So I can actually give the characters and the actors themselves their proper names. And anyway. And yes, we got to get into this because it's the elephant in the room. It's the sad, tragic elephant in the room. But the Lance Riddick, the handling of Lance Riddick, because yes, we do know he passed away. But, and this isn't a full-blown spoiler because it's in the first 10 fucking minutes of the movie. They kill him off because Skarsgård's character, where he is, Bill Skarsgård's character, Marquise or whatever, the Marquis, instead of killing Winston for punishment for what happened at the, because the last one ended on a cliffhanger somewhat, if you really look at it, I mean, it's not even really looking. It did end on a cliffhanger, and you knew Chapter 4 was coming, and that this just had to come to an end. But for the fallout of what happened at the end of Chapter 3, Winston, obviously, there was going to be some consequences, and it was great to see Clancy Brown in this as the Harbinger. Anytime I get Clancy Brown, I'm happy. The guy's a fucking national treasure. But anyway, when the Harbinger came and laid his decree that these things had to be, and because Winston helped someone out in being excommunicado and all this bullshit, I know I'm sound like I'm trashing it, but Winston's consequence of what happened in New York was to kill the butler, or Sharon, or whatever his name is, Lance Riddick's character. It was a little kind of distasteful to me, but, you know, it is what it is. I don't know however else you could have written him out, because he died so abruptly, and it's like, it was a tragic thing, and I don't know how you handle that, especially being in the movie business. I think that was probably the right way to go. But, you know, who am I? I don't do these films, but let's get back into it. Overall, the action was fucking ridiculous. There are some, and this is my Fast and Furious films. This is why, as much as I loathe the Fast and the Furious films, I understand why they're so endured by people, and that people enjoy them and have a good time, because it's not that serious. We're not talking about American History fucking X here, or Citizen Kane, or Schindler's List, or Saving Private Ryan. We're talking about a movie you just turn your brain off. So in that respect, me and the people who enjoy Fast and the Furious, we have a similar thing, because there are a lot of points in John Wick where you have to turn your fucking brain off, because it's not that it's dumb to the point of Fast and the Furious films. It's just to the where we defy the one thing they have in common, where we defy physics that just don't. Just ridiculous shit that would kill ordinary people in the modern world that you know would kill them. John Wick just, it's like a gust of wind blew on him. It's ridiculous to such an extent that there is going to be a John Wick 5. And I don't know how. And at the same time, I know 100% how it can be done. Because these are John Wick films. Just like the Fast and the Furious ended on a cliffhanger, the most recent one, Fast X. I won't spoil it for those who haven't seen it, because that movie's still moderately new, but you know, FYI, you can rent it now via streaming on Vudu and Amazon Prime and all those fucking, because it's already here. And apparently it's doing better in the box office than it is on home video. So anyway, the point is, to bring this all back around, these films defy physics to where you're like, you're smiling and shaking your fucking head at the same time, because you're like, okay, okay. Like, when we use cars to fly into space, we've gone too far. And John Wick doesn't do that, but it gets dangerously close. And that's why I love this film, because it gets dangerously close and pulls itself up before it crashes into the fucking mountain, which I love. That's a perfect film for me in as far as that film in that genre, that's perfect for what you did, because you went so over the top to right where, before you went off the cliff, you put the brake before you didn't go full Evel Knievel and drive the fucking bike off the mountain. So, overall, it was a really fantastic film. It is a little too long. Like, it's not fucking necessary to be that long. I think it's 170 minutes, if I'm not mistaken. What the fuck is this shit? Get out of there. Sorry. Just getting aggravated because my computer's acting like a... Let's see if we can find it. It's too long. 170 minutes for... Yeah, it's 2 hours and 49 minutes. It's like you're reaching the precipice of 3 hours and you're not just... That's the one... If I have one complaint for chapter four and a nitpick, it's not even a nitpick, it's a complaint and it is a fuck up for the film. You're right at the precipice of 3 hours and there's no justification for it. Not really. However, it does redeem itself with the end, and there's only one way that this can end. And it's the way it ended. We think, wink wink, John Wick died. My view, especially since they confirmed there is going to be a John Wick 5, you're going to have to do a lot of convincing to Keanu, because the way he was talking, he wanted Chapter 4 to be, this is it. But the company, this is the biggest selling John Wick they've ever had. Once again, just like we discussed earlier with the horror movies, once the bag drops and people go to the movies, and this is a record breaker for the John Wick chapter or John Wick franchise series. It's the most, trying to say this articulately without sounding like a fucking idiot, but we already did that. It is the highest grossing, there we go, John Wick film out of the franchise. People swarm to the box office before what's that? Well, I forgot the movie that came out after it. So people swarm the box office to go see John Wick Chapter 4. And then you got Scream the week. That's right, Scream 6 was the following week, if I'm not mistaken. And then now it's been nonstop. Now it's been Little Mermaid. And now Flash is coming. And last week was Transformers Rise of the Beast. And after the Flash, it's Indiana Jones. It's like, hey, put the brake on the shit. We still got a long summer to go. We're only June 14th. Stop blowing your load before summer's even over. We got Mission Impossible to go. We've got a lot of films to go. Slow it the fuck down. And I can't even get to the theater with my work schedule. So I'm just watching these damn things. And the craziest shit about it is it's been consistent. The Super Mario Brother movie, John Wick Chapter 4, Scream 6, The Pope's Exorcist, Fast X, which really blew me away. They've all come out within literally 1 to 2 weeks of their release. It's the longest I've ever seen a movie be out was John Wick, and that was 3 weeks before they... I've never heard of such a thing. Especially when I was growing up, it took these movies 6, 7, even depending on what studio it was for the holiday season and what time of the year, you had to wait 8 fucking months before it came out on your VHS or DVD or whatever for the Christmas and holiday Black Friday season. Because the movie came out in May. Now they're just like, fuck it. You guys have been doing, since the COVID timeline, you guys have been sitting there and going, huh? But you're just streaming online anyway. You probably won't get your fat asses off your duff and go to the theater. So, fuck it. Here it is. It's on demand. Enjoy. Stuff the popcorn down your gullet and watch it on your reclinomite. So, anyway, we are getting a Chapter 5, and I don't know how they're going to do it, except for, yeah, you kind of do, because you could go, well, he didn't die, because the man's invincible. And I'm not going to complete... I've already spoiled enough, but I'm not going to completely go into it. But there's a duel, and there's just a lot of good sequences that to where you're like, okay, now let's get into the point where he's a fucking slasher killer. Like, he's Jason Voorhees. He cannot... I've seen Jason Voorhees take less abuse than I saw John Wick take in his one film alone over Friday the 13th, 12. So, it's insane. Like, it's insane. So, you can kind of see, he's not dead. That shit's... They hit him like Batman, just like Alfred told Batman to do in The Dark Knight Rises. All I want to do is go to that villa and see you, not talk to you, just see that you survived and you're happy. Well, Batman survived a nuclear bomb. So, an Oppenheimer-sized, you know, bomb. So if Batman can survive an Oppenheimer-sized bomb, I'm sure John Wick's just fine with a few old musket slugs. And that's all I'll go on. Overall, my rating on John Wick Chapter 4, especially now that it's out, it's a must. Especially if you've seen the first three, you have to see how this wraps up. Even though I pretty much told you, you could still get enjoyment out of it. And if you've already seen it, you know, let me know, because I think it was a fantastic film. It wasn't perfect by any means. No one's saying that, but it was a nice send off to saying, hey, John, you did good. Even though they want to do a fifth fucking movie, which kind of undermines a lot of the stuff that I won't spoil beyond the ending. There's a lot of stuff in there. It undermines what they did in the fourth one, which is like, I hate when you got, see, Hollywood, you get too fucking greedy. And then once the bag drops, so do your pants, because you got to jerk yourselves and make another movie. And then you end up potentially ruining the whole damn franchise. It gets obnoxious. It really gets obnoxious. Sorry for swearing so much, but it really pisses me off. And being morbid, but it really pisses me off to no end, because there's no reason for it. There's no reason for you guys to get your shit in your buddy Lee Dungarees, because you made a bunch of money. You know how you can still make a bunch of money? Continuing to make original shit. Make a sequel, yeah, but don't make 72 of the fucking things. Like, Fast X, we have Fast X, and we're going to get two more. Because Vin Diesel needs a trilogy, because he needs the bag. Because he can't make money with any of his other properties, including Riddick. Because nobody fucking cares. He hit the lotto, and if I were him, I ain't hating on him either. I'm hating on the process of, we gotta get these, but I ain't hating that he's doing it, because go on, playa, go on, popcorn pimp, get your bag, because it's not gonna last forever, and if I were you, I'd be sucking the milk till the teat ran dry, too, because you get that bag, because the bag's gonna run dry in a couple of years, because sooner or later, and it's not anybody's fault, it's just the way consumer demand works in the entertainment business. It's the way with wrestling. There's ebbs and there's flows, there's highs and there's lows. That's just the way the economy, and when you get into inflation and all the other economic bullshit that we don't need to, you're not gonna stay at the top of the rocket forever. It just don't work that way. Sooner or later, the rocket's got to run out of fuel. And then you got to go, oh. So, let's just slow down with, you know, 140. Like, you don't need to keep making so many. Escalating the number.
Well, we want to beat the record. We want to be Halloween. We're the originator, so we want to make sure we make 45 of these.
Oh, God, that makes me scared. No, don't do that. So, but John Wick Chapter 4, I can give it a solid 8.5 out of 10. And that's a good rating for me. Sometimes it could go up to a 9, but it was great. It was a fun ride at the movies. And there was some moments where you're just like, okay, Jason Voorhees and Michael Myers, you just can't be killed, can you, John? There's moments where you're like, especially when, and I'm not going to get too deep into it because I don't want to be a dick. I've already spoiled enough. But there's moments in John Wick where you're like, it's kind of like, it's not cringe, but you're like, this is stupid even for the sake of being stupid. So that's why I give it an 8.5 out of 10. It's a solid B-. I enjoyed this film, and I want to get the whole collection. I want to get the whole entire collection of John Wick, 1 through 4, because they're all good in their own right. 3, I was kind of... I enjoyed 2. 1 still holds as my favorite. But this is a close... Like I said, structure-wise, this is the closest to 1 that we've ever gotten. Even more than 2, and especially more than 3. So, good job, Keanu. I don't know about Chapter 5. I think... Let's just leave it this way. 4 is a good run. Like, most people don't even get a sequel. A lot of the times. Because it just don't make the box office numbers. Like, let's just leave it here. Please. I'm begging you guys. Please, leave it at 4. We don't... As much as I'd love to see Keanu back in the suit and kicking people's ass and blowing people away, we don't need a Chapter 5. But we're going to get it. Let's just be honest. We're going to get it because the bag dropped. You know, it's all about money. So, capitalism at its finest. But, you know, America, bitches. Anyway, let's move on to another sequel. Wrap this up with some, you know, if we have time, with some of the Summer Games Fest. Which we got a couple announcements on some of the skins for this game. Street Fighter 6. I think I've put in, and especially with a full-time job, so this is, I've put in about, because you get a world tour and some other stuff, but I've put in about a good 13 hours with this game, and that's with a full-time job. I know these other MLG fucking Cheeto dust-eating Mountain Dew-swigging motherfuckers. I know they've gotten far more hours. That's why I'm getting my ass whooped online. And I do win some. No joke. I can give myself some credit. I do win some. And some of them are good matches. I'm impressed with how some of them come out. Because some of them are like down to the wire. Me and the guy online or the girl or whoever. The person online are like, yeah, let's rematch. That's one thing I do like about it. The internet has gotten a little bit better. When I did my initial review on Filmmaker Mike and the Boys, the internet was a little clunky. Now it's not because now it's not throwing you out so much. And what I'm saying is not that you have bad internet. It'll make you feel like you have bad internet when you don't, because it'll throw you out of the match and it'll say you have no internet connection. We cannot process you through a server. If you go to your place, especially if you're playing it on PlayStation, you press the PlayStation button, you can see that you're clearly online because you can see all your friends who are online, and you can still see the online store and go on to the online store and purchase shit on the online store. You can actually talk to your friends on the fucking headset. You cannot do that without an internet connection. This is basic internet arithmetic. So that is very frustrating, but however, I can say since I've talked about it on Filmmaker Mike and the Boys, they have reduced that to a significant amount. It still happens, and it's still fucking frustrating. However, the rate of how it happens has been reduced to an acceptable percentage. It still needs some work, and Street Fighter has a long way to go. Well, not a long way to go, but it's got some way to go. Because, mind you, this game just came out, so we gotta be a little lenient. But by the end of the year, that shit should be fixed. But overall, it's better than a lot of the other fighting game servers where you're in there and you're doing that bit. You're chopping. And you're throwing a fireball and it's or you're doing scorpions. Get over. I'm just getting, not that Mortal Kombat does that. I'm just talking about there's examples of fighting games out there that don't give a shit about their online servers. You can tell. This one does. So that's a step in the right direction. That's a check for good. Another thing is, I don't know how I feel about the character roster. We get Ken, Ryu, Guile, Blanca, Dhalsim, E. Honda, Edmund Honda. We get Juri, Marisa. There's one At addition, Kimberly, who I really enjoy, she's almost like she's got, it's almost a little ridiculous because she's like she's got mutant powers from, like she's an X-Men. But she does a move that reminds me a lot of Nightcrawler because she disappears into dust. Like, it goes, and then she reappears and fucks you up. Lily, she's like the replacement T-Hawk character because she even has a move like T-Hawk where she flies up in the upward position and flows down. Punishing, it's like a punishing attack. If you like, and it, the up is the anti-air attack. Anyway, she's got two cricket bats with wheels on them that she can mercifully beat you in the skull with. I'm not even joking. They're literally two glorified cricket bats with wheels in the middle of the cricket bat where she can just mollywop the shit out of you. And she can even drag them around your head and throw you up in the air and drive you down. And it don't even matter if you're at full power. It takes a substantial amount of damage. And she's only a little thing. She can't be any more than 90 pounds soaking wet. And she can't be more than 4'2". And that's even stretching it. But she can kick your ass across the galaxy. So, you know, fucking Street Fighter. Another one like John Wick where it's just... Okay. Anyway, the point of the matter is, there's some characters I don't know how I feel. Manon, I'm just not good with her, so I don't like her. Some of her moveset I think is just. There's the new Akuma character who's supposed to be the Bison Akuma villain. JP Morgan. He's the upper elite, top of the line British rogue. With a long staff. Surprisingly, if I'm not mistaken, it is missing the diamond, which is surprising to me, because all cliche, cringe, rich-ass knobs that have that fucking walking cane staff do the diamond in it to extra cringe effect, which is just, you think you look sophisticated, but you really look like a limp dick tool. He has that, and he has special powers where he can shoot some fucking mystical purple shit out you like Ivan Ooze, and lift you up and choke the life out of you like he's fucking Darth Vader in A New Hope, and just throw you down the ground. That takes half your power bar almost, no matter what, no matter where you are. So if you're in a fucked area where you're almost dead, it's almost an automatic KO. It's like, okay. He's a little slow for my taste, and he's not anywhere as charismatic as Akuma or M. Bison, not even close. But, you know, he'll do in a pinch. That's the only real gripe I have, is this new villain is... I've seen more villainous shit at Burger King than this motherfucker, so I don't know... I don't know how I'm supposed to buy this guy as the successor to M. Bison and Shadowlaw. Or Shadaloo, or whatever the fuck the way you want to say it. I don't buy it. But this is a guy we got, you know? And then when he's not even... Because if you're in arcade mode, which is the story mode, you don't even get him as, depending on what character, he's not even the final boss every time. It just depends on who you pick. If you pick Ken, he's the final boss. But if you pick, I don't know, someone like Fatso, E. Honda... Then you get someone else. I forgot who he... I think Chun... Or no. Manon was the final boss for E. Honda. Because he was looking for the perfect place to start his new restaurant. You know, some of the storylines are fucking stupid. They make you want to, once again, put your head through the TV set. But other than that, the character roster is okay. It's not terrible. But it's like, okay, no Fei Long, it's a little disappointing. He's not even the new upcoming DLC. We getting someone like Eddie, Akuma's coming next year, and then some other slubs I've never even, it's just like, it's kind of lackluster. That, but where it makes up for it is in the quantity and the quality of the game. Like, it's so much fun, and it's addicting. You gotta watch your ass, because if you don't, you're in there, you're just like, one more game, and then one more game turns into, you know, 6 hours later, you left your kids at school, and they're crying, going, hey, why the fuck didn't you pick me up? Oh, sorry, honey, I was busy playing Street Fighter VI. You know, so you need to watch your ass, especially if you have kids. You can still play video games and have kids, contrary to popular belief, but you just need to watch your ass. But the character roster is, like, I don't get no Fei Long, which I really wanted Fei Long back. No T-Hawk. We got Lily. You know. DJ's in there. That was one thing. I used to love DJ. You know, boom, ba. And the rhythm, he's cool. So I forgot to, almost passed me by, you know. DJ's in there, so that's cool to see. Chun-Li, the way they look is a lot different. They don't look, Chun-Li's face looks more realistic, like a real woman in the real modern era. A real modern era Chinese woman, because she is Chinese, so she doesn't look like her typical cartoonish over-the-top self. Like, it's more realistic to who she is, I guess. It looks more like Mortal Kombat than it does, excuse me, that cartoonish Street Fighter look. So I was thrown way back by it. So overall, I'm having a great time with it. It's got a long way to go. I gotta keep correcting myself. Not a long way to go, but there's some things that need to be tweaked and twitched here and fixed there, and a couple of other things that really need to be worked on. But overall, if they do that, it's gonna be a fantastic game. Where it stands for me right now, it's the other day I said 8.7 out of 5. 8.75 out of 10, excuse me. This is a 9 out of 10 right now, and I hate to give it so high with some of the flubs and bugs, but those are, you can look past those, especially considering when they're fixed. For as fun as the game is, you got the World Tour, which is really enjoyable, where you can create your own character and literally go on the streets and kick people's ass. It's literally street fighting. It literally on the nose, and that shit is where you'll really get sucked in if you're not careful too, because you get to meet different characters from the game, and you adapt and absorb their fighting style. So right now there's people out there that have locked every master. Right now all I got is Luke, who's a fucking obnoxious douchebag. I'm not even going to get into him and his character, because that is a rant for another 40 minutes. He's an obnoxious, dumbass douchebag. Your typical, I won't even call him a frat boy. He's beyond, it's worse than that. It's like, it's Super Saiyan levels of douchery. And then right now I also have Chun-Li's style. I'm using hers for the time being, but because I have a giant ass fucking muscle bound chick who I think Luke, as much as I hate him, his style is more appropriate for her body build, because Chun-Li ain't cutting it. So she can't get the kicks like Chun-Li does. So it's an impressive start to Street Fighter 6, and I'm not even a Street Fighter fan. I genuinely either don't care or just get it out of my fucking face. When is Mortal Kombat coming out? Right now, this is going to hold me over until Mortal Kombat 1 comes out in September. September 17th, if I'm not mistaken. That's a while away for right now. I think Street Fighter, especially with the new additions that they will be adding throughout the entire year and through the summer, I'll be just fine. So, 9 out of 10 for Street Fighter 6. I highly enjoyed it. Great time. And I'm still playing. I'm probably going to take a shower, and right before I go, an hour before I go to work, get online and play some more Street Fighter 6, because it's well worth it. I'm supposed to eat before. I may not even eat. I may just say, who needs food? I need Street Fighter 6. That'll be my sustenance. So, anyway, that's that. And we don't really need to do the game shit. I mean, we can talk about a couple of things. Star Wars Outlaws came out. We're getting a new Avatar game, which is fucking stupid. It's the stupidest shit I've ever heard. I'm sorry. I'm looking it up right now. A new game to Avatar, a lackluster piece of shit, now needs to have a lackluster dog shit dumpster fire piece of shit video game. That's great. We'd all be better off if you just kicked us in the cock and been done with it. Alright, here we go. Star Wars Outlaws came out. I'm not going to go into gameplay, but it's supposed to be pretty good. They got videos of people crying about it. That's a little too much. Take it easy. Come on. You're crying over a Star Wars video game. Slow down. And then we got Avatar. What is it called? I don't even care about this piece of shit, but Avatar Fucks and Bucks or some shit. Avatar Frontiers of Pandora. And it looks like shit. I know I sound like I'm a, because I do hate it, but it looks like shit. You can go on YouTube and see for yourself Avatar Frontiers of Pandora. Look it up for yourself. This game looks like a PS3 game. And this is supposed to be out for the next gen. Like, this is ridiculous. Ubisoft is just, I don't even want to do this, so I changed my mind. Starfield's coming out sometime in the year 2043. You know, they say it's supposed to be coming out this year, but I don't believe it when I see it. I'd buy that for $1, I'll tell you, because I don't see Starfield. Let's look this up. September 6th is what they're holding to now. They say that September 6th, wink, wink, it will finally be coming out after, what, 3-4 pushbacks? I don't buy. I bet you we're going into 2024. We'll see. But that's about it. Starfield is the biggest thing, and they said it is coming out. It is coming out. It is coming out. They guarantee. They guarantee it is going to be September 6th. We'll see how long that lasts. Anyway, I appreciate you guys spending this length of time with me ranting on about nonsense, but hey, it's always a good time. I'm going to try and not to make it so long for every episode this time around. I know I keep saying that, but when there's no news and there's nothing to watch, nothing that interests me, because I can give zero fucks about Marvel. They can go fuck themselves. They can go jump in. They can find a short pier and take a long walk. So that's all I got to say about that. But when there's nothing to watch, there's nothing to watch. But when there is, I will make more consistent episodes when I'm not out here diddling pickles. So anyway, you know, Papa's got to make his money any way he can. Keep him happy and paying the bills and buying more video games I don't need. So anyway, love you guys. Thank you for taking the time out. Sorry it sounds low energy, but you know, we're sick around these parts, I tell you. Live in a house where people get sick all the time and it just bounces off like a fucking pinball machine. It's getting a little old. Gotta get a new place. Anyway, love you guys. Thank you for taking your time out with me, and I will see you on the next one. Peace.